download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk WATD. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
All right, we are back here on Monday Night Talk, and a room that was full has gotten fuller. Joining us from the South Shore Hospice, or actually who's the director of the Hospice of the South Shore, is Brenda Kukos.
Hi there.
How are you?
Good.
And we don't want to forget Dave. Dave's in the back of the room. Dave Riley, a great guy who we've had here before. And who do you have with you, with us this evening, Brenda?
I have Liz Conley Gilmore.
Hi, Brenda. How are you?
Good. And your father?
Paul Conley.
How do you do?
And they are the honorary family, this year's honorary family?
Honorary Walk family, yes.
And what, and tell, explain to folks, well, again, just to remind folks, what we're talking about is the 25th Annual Walk for Hospice. It's going to be taking place on March 19th, correct?
Yes.
And so tell us a little bit of what the whole concept behind the honorary family.
Well, really, every year we take care of over 500 families. This year we cared for about 570 families.
Wow.
And we try to highlight one particular family every year to really help tell the story to people on the South Shore and to let them know what hospice really can do when we have the time to get involved and can get involved early enough to really make a difference for the family, for someone who's dying.
Now, Liz and Paul, if you would kind of give us your thoughts on hospice and what it meant to you, and this is something in regards to, I believe, your mother, Liz?
Right.
And your Mrs. Paul?
Yes.
Yeah, first of all, I want to, you know, thank South Shore Hospice for choosing us as the honorary family. It is definitely an honor and a tribute to my mother. They cared for my mother for 2 years, which normally, you know, most people are not on hospice for 2 years. But with the care that she was given, you know, she was able to stay home and hospice was right there for us every step of the way.
How important is that? How important is that you have an organization that's willing to help you in your time in need when you have a loved one who is at that point in time in their life?
It's so important. I mean, this was our first time experience in anything like this, and there's just so many questions that need to be answered. And anything you needed, you know, you had 24-hour support 7 days a week, 365 days a year. It didn't matter what you needed, when you needed it, you had it immediately.
Paul?
Well, I think that Liz said most of it, but the girls that came, the nurse and the aide, the nurse was Teddy and the aide was Linda, and without them, I don't know what I would have done. I mean, they felt like family to me because Linda came every morning at 8:30 and she was there at clockwork. I'd have a couple of hot chocolate for her, and she'd go in and take care of my wife and make sure she was clean, get her out of bed, give her a breakfast, and get her set for the day. And I don't know, I would have been lost without her.
And I was actually going to, you actually answered my next question without even trying. And then, I mean, what is that like, you know, having them be there when you're, when you have somebody who is at that point and trying to be there for them, yet you yourself are also like, you know, what do I do in regards to making sure that their final moments are the best moments?
Well, they certainly are. And the Teddy, the nurse, she used to come about 3 times a week. And anything that we needed, she made sure that my wife had everything she needed. And if there was anything, every time she came, she'd ask me, is there anything that you need to keep Marie comfortable, you know, and clean? And I said, well, if there is, I'll let you know. And it was there the next day or two, all whatever I needed.
And what were the things that Marie liked that they were able to help out with?
Well, there was, at the end there, she needed, she had trouble with going to the bathroom, and that was the stuff that she gave me. She'd give me diapers and stuff like that keep her clean, and any kind of medication she needs, she was on certain types of medication that she had to have all the time.
And, you know, the thing that you don't realize is, you know, you don't pay for any of the things that are delivered to the house, whether that's medicine, swabs for your mouth, anything, again, for her care and comfort is all, free, donated with, you know, hospice and things like that. You don't pay for a thing with hospice.
So, Brenda, can I ask you a quick question?
Sure.
And that is the increased demand. I mean, obviously, you're talking about the supplies that you're able to bring for free, but also, what is the increase in demand for hospice care annually, would you estimate? You know, because you obviously, the more people that need the service, the higher your costs are, and the more money you need to raise. So, what do you see as the average, you know, sort of demand each year increase?
Increase in cost or demand for
just the services
patients?
Alone, the number of raw number of patients.
I would say, well, we're just growing every year. I mean, these are the most patients we've had for us in a long, long time. 570 is a lot of patients over the year. We have, most insurances do have a hospice benefit. So when you're saying free, there are caps to that, however. So we take whatever the insurance will cover, and then we supplement that with money that we get from the hospice walk to help provide the supplies, the medications. We get paid on a daily rate, but that includes all the nursing, all the social work support, the aid visits, all the supplies, any medications that are related to the terminal illness. It might be, they might have a physical therapist going, we might have equipment, hospital bed, and all of that gets covered on that daily rate. And sometimes it's not enough.
And what's your region? What area do you cover in the region?
We cover from Quincy, Canton, Milton, all the way down the coast, over to the Bridgewaters, Brockton, and down to Plymouth.
So, I mean, the travel alone is a pretty big line item as well, as far as to and from.
I mean, some of our aides can put on, you know, 50, 60 miles a day.
Yeah.
I guess I would ask you, talk to us, what do you normally raise from this particular walk? And do you look to hopefully do better each year? Do you do the Jerry Lewis thing where it's a dollar more every year?
Yes.
I mean, talk to me about... What do you guys raise on an annual...
Well, last year we raised about $230,000, and this year with the 25th anniversary, we're hoping for $250,000. That's our goal. And if it's more, we'll be happy to take it.
Now, you mentioned about you've helped about 570 families. How much of an increase is it over the year prior and the year prior? I mean, how much do you see it increase?
I would say about 25, 30 patients more.
Really?
Annually, yeah.
Wow, that's significant. Good, Jeff.
In the last 5 years, say, for example.
And the Gilmores, you know, you're a good example of, you know, what the actual needs are in the household. But I'm, as a slight tangent, I'm on the housing committee up at the State House, and we were talking about, you know, the issues of people finding housing or the cost of housing. And I know there's been an increase in the region in in-laws, people moving back in with their family or modifying their house so that people can live as a family together. And hospice is one of those great things where instead of somebody going to, you know, sort of another place for care, they stay right there and are comfortable in their home.
Right.
So that must have obviously been a great advantage for you.
That was a big thing for us. I mean, you know, my mother was a home giver, you know, a caregiver her entire life, and we just wanted her to be, you know, at home in her own bed being cared for, you know, and hospice gave us that ability to do that. And she was quite comfortable, never in pain, and just happy to be home.
Do you want to say something, Paul?
Well, it started gradually when my wife started getting sick and the kids started noticing if she was walking up a set of stairs or something and they were behind her, they would say, "What's the matter with Ma?" And I said, "I don't know what's the matter with her, but I mean, I've noticed that she's starting to walk a little different." So she did notice it herself, and so she said, "I've got to go to the doctor and find out what's wrong." So she ended up going and having a couple of brain scans, and all the doctor could tell me was that too much white matter. And I said, "What does white matter have to do with it?" He said, "Well, it's a sign that the brain is sort of trying to tell you that it's tired and it's going to slow down."
Oh, man.
So anyways... not much else after that. And first she started walking with a walker, and then she had to go to a wheelchair, and then she had to be carried, and it eventually just come to a point that she was just bedridden completely.
She wasn't ambulant anymore, right?
Yeah.
You know, so, one of the things I hear, too, is patients that are suffering from Alzheimer's, if they are taken out of the home environment, it really becomes not just a health issue, but, you know, they can be frightened from being in different surroundings and things like that as well. So, I mean, hospice really helps in so many different ways, but, you know, mental health as well is a big part of that that caregiving towards the end, right?
Oh, right, to have her be peaceful in her own home and her familiar surroundings. I think one thing that the Conleys didn't mention is that what a great job the family does. It really is, hospice is there to supplement and to teach and guide the family, to bring in services to complement what they're already doing. But certainly she couldn't have been kept home if it wasn't for their own support and their willingness to be able to care for her at home. And we hope to be able to do that, and we were able to helped them for over almost 2 years.
If it hadn't been for the hospice, my wife wouldn't have lasted 2 years. She would have been gone in a year, because she said, if I can't stay in my own home, I'm not going to be satisfied and I'm just going to give up. But she had something to live for, and so she lived for those good 2 years and was never in an ounce of pain and never complained. You'd ask her if she was in pain. No, I got no pain. And couldn't have gotten any better. I could swear on the Bible that if it wasn't for the hospice, she wouldn't have lasted for 2 years.
Yeah, and we're talking about somebody nearly six decades that you two were together.
Oh, yeah.
Fondest moment? Would you want to share your fondest moment?
Well, with our seven children, I mean, we had couldn't go out on big vacations, so we were campers, and we started with a pop-up camper. Excuse me. And we outgrew the camper, so that we bought a travel trailer, because the wife said that she wanted a bathroom.
So, it's
those little things.
Yeah. So after we outgrew that, then I said, when I retire, we'll buy a motorhome. So we bought a big 29-foot motorhome, and we did all kinds of traveling. We went north, south, as far as the Grand Canyon. We have grandchildren and daughters, a couple of daughters in Nebraska. So we went out there at least once and maybe twice a year and saw them all the time, and we just loved the travel.
Liz, would you like to know, where are you in staggered in the seven children?
I'm number five in the mix.
Oh, lucky you.
So, yes, exactly.
Talk to us about your fondest memories of your mom.
You know, honestly, again, she was, you know, a mom of seven. She had 18 grandchildren. The thing that put the biggest smile on my mother's face was holding a newborn baby. And she just loved to be a grandmother and a mother. And, you know, that's what she loved best. She just taking care of her family. And in the end, we wanted to take care of her just like she took care of us all those years.
Brenda, what does it mean to hear from the honorary family members talking about the importance of the services that are provided by hospice?
Well, I think you can hear that, you know, what the staff gives to them, they certainly get back tenfold from the families. And, you know, the people that do this kind of work, it really isn't just a job, it's a calling. And they are so willing to give of themselves, but they get so much back on a daily basis from families like the Conleys. And so we really hope to raise more funds so that we can help more people. In fact, this year, we're starting in the next few months, they're going to be decreasing what they're going to be paying hospice, the insurances, and they're actually going to decrease it after the first 60 days. So here we had someone almost 2 years, we'll be getting paid less to do the same job, and we hope to be able to give the same amount of support, regardless of what the ability to pay is.
I'm looking at the press release, and I'm just marveling at some of the things that have changed over the 25 years since hospice got up and started. Let's see, the cost of a new house, $120,000. It's a condo now, isn't it?
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Although the price of gas, where it's, I know in...
we actually might be matching the
next... Well, we're getting close to it. I mean, it was $1.12 then.
Well, if you use your Stop and Shop reward card.
Oh, right.
I've gotten down to that number there.
Have you really?
Wow.
Yes.
Nobody looks a show off,
can
Jeff.
I mention
Yeah. Talk to us about this year. Where's the event held? And are you asking... I'm sure we want people to start registering now for this walk and getting involved, right?
Yes, definitely. So the event is going to be held at the South Shore Plaza on March 19th from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. And if you'd like to get involved to start a team, please go to our website, which is giving.southshorehospital.org/walkforhospice. And if you have any questions or wondering how you can help, you can call Megan Cannell. She's from the foundation and would help guide anyone at, and her number is 781-624-8142.
Now, does Megan work at South Shore Hospital?
Yes, she's a one of the staff on the foundation who's helping to organize this whole event.
Well, I mean, South Shore Hospital, obviously, for those who don't know, is a wonderful hospital. My second daughter was born there, and they just had, they're undergoing an expansion right now. They have a new president, Dr. Jean Green, is now taken over, and they've just been a great resource on the South Shore for so many things. So it's no surprise that they're helping you with the organization and have been doing this for so many years as well. So that's great.
What's some of the things that we've seen over the years during the walk that maybe folks, if they want to replicate it, you talk about having teams and people getting involved. Let's try to get that spirit, because you want to raise, what, $250,000?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Let's get that spirit up. What's some of the ideas that you want to see this year?
It's a fun event. I mean, people come to listen to music, to just walk as a family. Mm. We have patients and families, or families that had come, and then we took care of their loved ones 8, 10, 15 years ago, and they have T-shirts.
Stays with them.
Team Grandma T-shirts on, and some of the kids have been coming since they were very little, doing community service. But you'll have bands playing and cheerleaders cheering. There'll be balloon events and face painting. It's a very fun, uplifting morning. And there is a wall of remembrance that people can fill out in memory of and write little notes and put up on the wall. There's also a beautiful quilt that's been made of many of the different T-shirts that have been put together over the years. And if people who are putting teams together want to leave us a T-shirt, it'll be added to the quilt. So.
If people are just going to show up, if they don't have a team, they can still show up and donate, or at least just kind of take part in supporting
absolutely.
Some of the people walking.
Yeah, just show up at any time after 7 o'clock. The mall's open and pretty lively. It's incredible to see all the young people that are there, too. Many high schoolers and early college, and you're just helping out. There'll be people there till midnight the night before setting up for the event. After the mall closes, that's when they start setting up all the tables. So
now, do you have speakers? Like, will the Connolly family speak? Will members of the Connolly family speak? What will happen?
Yes.
As far as the honorary family?
Usually after a morning of music and walking, we'll pull together. There's usually an MC, and then we'll ask the family to say a few words, and I'll say a few words, and just thank people for coming and let them know how much we've raised so far. And again, we're hoping for $250,000, so that's our goal. I think we're already maybe a third of the way there.
Really?
Hopefully with some tax returns coming back, people can kind of maybe look at that.
Yes.
And the gas savings on gas.
And every little bit counts.
In, right?
Every little bit counts, yeah.
But also you're looking for corporations to possibly make larger donations as sponsoring,
right.
Things
yes,
like that.
Yes, we have a lot of big donors already, and people like Eastern Bank, for example, that join every year and put together big teams of their own, and they'll come sometimes with 25, 50 people walking. So there's lots of organizations around the South Shore.
I want to give Paul and Liz an opportunity. This is your chance to kind of, anybody who's out there listening, who may be looking for something to do on that weekend of the 19th, of, give them a reason to show up.
Back a few months ago, so if everybody remembers about the big, it was some kind of a lottery that was going on. There was something like $200 million that was supposed to be in the...
It was mine, but yes.
Yeah.
We're going to split it with
wrong
me.
Ticket. Yes.
They were always asking me, if you hit this, what would you do? And I said, for sure, would be a good chunk of money would be taken out of that winnings given towards the hospice. And, I mean, if I didn't give it all or enough to live on after that, I'd have to give it a good chunk.
Liz?
Well, you know, I don't think anybody really thinks about hospice until they really need to use it.
It's true.
And you know, myself included, I mean, this walk has been going on for 25 years now. And, you know, I unfortunately hadn't participated before. You know, I'm going to be participating and our family will be and everyone, you know, from here on in. So it's just so important because I pretty much guarantee at one point in your life, somebody you know, whether it's a, you know, a neighbor, friend, relative, grandmother, is going to be needing hospice. And again, you can't say enough about the good work that they do. You need them.
Brenda, if you will, give the website one more time before we go.
Okay, it's giving.southshorehospital.org /walk for hospice.
And of course, that voice is Brenda Cockrell. She is the director of hospice of the South Shore. I want to thank Paul and Liz for being here, as they are the honorary family members who are here. Thank you very much for talking a little
appreciate
bit about
that.
This.
Thank you very much.
We're going to step aside, and when we come back, we're going to talk presidential politics. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD.